Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. The special session is over and we are joined by Steve Yeager. He's the chair of Assembly Judiciary and is here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're taping this program on the morning of July 20th, the day after Sine Dye was declared at the state legislature, and we are pleased to be joined by Steve Yeager. He's the chair of Assembly Judiciary. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it, Steve.
Thanks for having me, Sam. It's always a pleasure to join you and talk about the issues.
All right. So it was a 12-day session, and obviously there were large cuts made to a lot of programs. It occurs to me in reading a piece that was put together by SierraNevadaAlly.org that Health and Human Services were one of the places that took the biggest hits. Am I right in saying that?
Well, you know, I think if you look at the budget we pass, I mean, every place took hits. It's the you know, with a $1.2 billion deficit, everyone was affected. But I will say this, I think the proposed budget had really drastic cuts to Health and Human Services. And, you know, one of the reasons is just our state budget is comprised mainly of Health and Human Services and education. I mean, that's the majority, I want to say 80% of the state budget. I do think we were able to do a lot to add and to mitigate some of those cuts to Health and Human Services, and in the end bill, add back in a lot of things that were on the proposed cuts. So, you know, I'm happy about that, but, you know, to the extent HHS took a big cut, it's just because it's such a huge part of our state budget. And so when you're trying to figure out where to cut, you know, you can cut some other departments, but it's just not going to get you where you need to get to in terms of balancing the budget.
It looked like the autism community took a really massive hit, all their money gone.
Yeah, you know, some of those things and some of the behind the scenes was really reaching out to folks who are were going to be affected by those proposed cuts and figuring out, you know, did they have reserve funding that they could use? So although sometimes the numbers look great in terms of what was cut, there are situations where there are reserve funds that those organizations could tap into. And I believe autism was one of those. So although the cut looks very dramatic from the outside, you know, we were able to work with them to figure out that they're going to be okay to be able to at least get through the next cycle. I mean, that being said, obviously we didn't want to cut anything. I mean, it was not a fun experience to be up here having to make these really tough decisions. But, you know, we tried to do the least amount of harm possible when we looked at how do we restore what we can restore, but still do what we're constitutionally mandated to do, which is to balance our budget.
You know, over the years, I've talked to Senator Reid when he was in office about the funding that Nevada gets from the federal government. And one of the issues has always been that we don't put up enough money to get matching funds. How much of a hit are we going to be taking, for example, in the Medicaid budget because now we're not going to be able to put up as much money?
Yeah, I don't have precise numbers for you, but I will tell you that for our caucus in particular, that was a huge consideration in looking at where do we need to try to restore proposed cuts, because you're right, there are circumstances where every dollar you put into state Medicaid generates $9 back from the federal government. So, you know, I think we were able to mitigate a lot of that and get a lot of the funding restored. For instance, there were a lot of optional services that were originally in the proposed cuts. You know, physical therapy, prosthetics, optometry, dental, and those all came with huge federal matching funds. So when we looked at how to restore, we prioritized, and I think that was a responsible thing to do to be able to, you know, get the most bang for the buck. So we weren't able to restore everything, but I think, you know, I don't have all the final numbers. I'm sure they'll come out soon, but I think we were able to mitigate quite a bit on the federal side. And, you know, you're right. We've tried to make an effort over the last couple cycles to make sure we're doing everything possible to leverage these federal dollars, because it sure would be a shame, you know, to not take advantage of those. But again, Medicaid is just such a unique program because there's such a big federal match. But then when we're looking at what we have to do to balance the budget, you know, Medicaid's a huge portion of our state budget. So it was a real balancing act. And, you know, I'll give a lot of credit to Chairwoman Maggie Carlton, Chairwoman Joyce Woodhouse. They worked really, really hard on this budget, as well as our legislative staff. I mean, they were just incredible in getting those numbers to us very, very quickly so we could make really good decisions.
Was that one of the reasons why it took 12 days for this session to get done, was back of the house work?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what I think what the public doesn't see is, you know, when we go into a regular session, the budgeting process is about 6 months long. You know, the governor's staff starts preparing the budget and then the legislature gets it. We take the whole session. So if you think about it, it takes about 6 months to prepare our state budget. We came in here and in about 12 days, we had to deconstruct and reconstruct the entire state budget. So, you know, when you look at it that way, we actually worked very efficiently. But, you know, to answer your question, yes. I mean, there's the back of the house staff trying to figure out, you know, what would be the impact of restoring this proposed cut versus this cut, and the Medicaid impact, and then just drafting of the bill. I mean, that budget bill was a pretty massive bill, and, you know, legal was here probably way longer than they would have liked to have been, but some of the behind the house work takes a lot of time, and during the session it takes time too, but it just spread out over 120 plus days. So although it seems like a very long session, I think we were able to be fairly efficient once we got here and started moving on the priorities.
Was the CARES Act money really pivotal?
Yes, absolutely. And I think for those that were following in the assembly, we added an amendment to the big budget bill a couple days ago. And part of that was CARES Act. It was $50 million of the CARES Act that we're now going to be able to allocate to help most the most in need students. So remember, in the governor's original proposed budget, read by three and some of the funding that went to more vulnerable students, that was all proposed to be cut. So we were able to take $50 million in CARES money and not replace it, because that's not an appropriate use of CARES money, but to be able to block grant it out to different school districts. So, and that was really a way to mitigate for the K through 12. You know, we didn't change any of the per pupil funding, which I think was huge, but some of these categorical and extra funding, you know, they were on the chopping block, and the CARES money was crucial to be able to save some of those efforts. And obviously we're hoping that we continue to get additional federal money. The HEROES Act passes the federal government, and hopefully they give us some flexibility for how to spend that, because, you know, we have some other gaps we would love to fill if the federal government would let us do that.
And it seems like a fifth rescue package is now starting to move through the Congress now that they're back in session. And so hopefully the states will get some relief, because, you know, my concern is not just on a legislative statewide level, but you're going to start seeing this move down to the counties and the cities. And there's going to be a lot of pain. I mean, you guys were able to work this out so that the state workers were only going to lose 6 days a year instead of 12 days a year. So AFSCME put out a really nice thank you note last night for the fact that that was cut in half. But you're going to see a lot of pain on a local level, are you not?
You're absolutely right. And, you know, especially with the COVID numbers lately, they've been spiking here. So, you know, that does not bode well for the state. But yeah, I think this was a first step. I mean, I think your viewers know, but we have to have a balanced budget. We can't just deficit spend and print money like the federal government. So these were necessary, painful cuts. But, you know, I don't know what the future holds. But I think you're right. I mean, this is a very, very tough time. And so when we looked at particularly state workers, I mean, these are Nevadans who work hard for the state, who have families to support, rents to pay. They've been a group that have taken cuts every time we've had a recession because, you know, they're part of the state budget. So it was really important for us to try to mitigate that because they're hurting just as much as everybody else out there. And so hopefully, you know, we were able to do some of that. And my hope is that, you know, if we get the HEROES Act money from the federal Congress, maybe we'll be able to mitigate those furloughs entirely because, you know, they don't have to take them until January of next year. But you're right, Sam, it's tough. It's unpredictable. And I think, you know, whether it's the next special session or whether it's the next regular session of the legislature, we just have to have a discussion about long-term spending revenue in the state because, you know, this every 10-year cycle of a downturn is just devastating for families. And, you know, obviously we couldn't have predicted a global pandemic, but here we are and it's forcing us to address the tough issues. But we certainly need federal help to make sure that folks aren't turned out of their houses or their apartments and that they can make it by until hopefully we can get back to some sense of normalcy when it comes to the Nevada economy.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here because, as you well know, people on the right have been saying for quite a while now that the state workers have been exempt from the pain that the private sector has gone through, where tens of thousands of people have lost their jobs completely or have been on furlough, and that money is about to run out at the end of July unless the federal government does something about the unemployment. What are your thoughts about, you know, the fairness factor there?
Well, you know, we control the state budget, right? So we just don't have control over the private sector. You know, the private sector is going to make the decisions that they make. But I feel as a state legislator, you know, we employ these folks in the state. They work extraordinarily hard. We have a very lean state government. So in terms of state employee per population, we're one of the lowest in the country. And, you know, I think we have to keep them whole because, you know, also keep in mind that if state employees get laid off, that's going to have a real impact on services in our state. For instance, take the Department of Motor Vehicles. If you start laying people off, I mean, it's already difficult to get in. So I think, you know, folks out there that are skeptical of that have to think about the impact to critical services in our state. It's just crucial to be able to have them working and employed. So, you know, I can't speak to the private sector. Obviously, I'm sympathetic to what everybody is going through. But as a state legislature, you know, we have to look out for the folks who are providing services to all Nevadans. And, you know, I think they are obviously going to share some of that pain because there are at least six furlough days on the table. But I feel very good about what we've done, given how lean the state government is.
All right, let's take a break. More with Assemblyman Steve Yeager after this time out.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go Go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program and continue this conversation with Assemblyman Steve Yeager. He is the chair of Assembly Judiciary. Obviously, as you mentioned at the top of the show, the other big piece of the system that got hit was the Nevada system of higher education. But in looking at the numbers, and this seems to be, you know, good thing, bad thing, depending on where your political perspective is, there was a lot of money that could be swept from accounts to balance out some of the cuts. So that's a good thing. But, you know, there are going to be, you know, fiscal conservatives will look at this and go, well, hey, if we had all this money sitting around, why weren't we using that before?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like your own budget, right? If in an ideal world, you save some money for a rainy day, and it certainly is raining outside, whether it comes to the state with the state's rainy day fund or the different departments, the higher system of higher education is the same way. They have a lot of reserve counts, and, you know, they save that for circumstances just like this. So, you know, they were a very good partner because we had a lot of conversations with them about, you know, do you have money you can tap into? Because you think every dollar that they can take out of reserve fund is another dollar we can put back into to Medicaid, another dollar we can put back into K through 12 education. So although some of those cuts look dramatic, I mean, I don't want to downplay it. Cuts are cuts, but you know, I think they were in a little bit better financial situation to be able to absorb some of those and move some money around. And, you know, I certainly am sympathetic to the idea that, well, you take money out of reserve now, you're not going to have it later. I understand that. But at the same time, the state's really in a crisis financially. So we need everyone to pitch in. And, you know, we did the same thing on the state side, too, to look at state agencies and departments and what reserve funds do you have. Now, will there be a reckoning in the future? Hopefully not. Hopefully we get the economy going again. Hopefully we get the federal money. But, you know, our focus was on making sure we didn't cut critical services that are going to make real differences in the day-to-day lives of Nevadans.
Let's talk about something that Robert Lang from Brookings West wrote about last week, which is what he claims are the inequities still with the funding between UNLV and UNR. And Jill Derby, former regent for 18 years, was on the program. She was a chairman of the Board of Regents for many years, says that, you know, since the passing of Bill Raggio and others that protected UNR, that doesn't really add up. Tell me what your thoughts are briefly, because we got a ton of other stuff to get to, on the inequities, if any, between the funding for UNLV and UNR.
Well, the good news, Sam, is I don't have a huge perspective on this just because I haven't been on Ways and Means over the years. So what I'll say on it is there's certainly that idea out there, and I've heard that before. But I think, you know, Chairwoman Carlton and Chairwoman Woodhouse of the two finance committees, I think, have worked really hard to make sure that both institutions are treated equitably. To the extent that's not the case, I think in the future you're going to see more equity between those institutions. So, you know, that's really all I can say on it at the moment, that, you know, we're aware of it, and if it's there, we'll work on it.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with Assemblyman Yeager after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Yeager. He's an assemblyman and chair of Assembly Judiciary. Tell me about this whole deal with mining. It seemed to come out of nowhere, and was mining prepared for this? What was that all about?
Well, there's a couple different things on mining. The first piece was the prepayment of their taxes. They were prepared for that. They'd done that before. I believe they were consulted, were okay with that. So that was one piece of it. And that was the original Assembly Bill, or Senate Bill 3, I think it was. The second part on the mining deductions tax, the mining deductions that would increase the mining tax. I think the reason that came about was our caucus really felt strongly about the need to raise additional revenue to try to mitigate some of these cuts. And when we started looking at some ideas, this was not a new idea. It was brought in 2011 by the late Peggy Pierce, Assemblywoman Peggy Pierce. So the good news was the bill was already drafted. It was pretty easy to just kind of revive that. And so, I know the speaker gave some of the mining folks a heads up that it was coming. They might not have gotten as much of a heads up as they would have liked, but I think as a caucus looked at the budget, we said we have to try to do something to raise some revenue, something realistic in the context of a special session.
The interesting thing was it wasn't even just industry specific, it was company specific in terms of going after really the one major mining company in the state. It seems like if there is a desire for changes to the way mining is taxed, it needs to be done as a constitutional amendment.
Well, I mean, that's one avenue to do it because, there is the constitutional amendment in terms of what the tax rate is. But what they can deduct before that tax rate is applied is a statutory element. So we were able to do that through the bill. And as you saw, we passed it through the Assembly and then all kinds of things happened over in the Senate where it looked like it was going to pass and then it didn't. So that was certainly disappointing. But, I think that we started that discussion and I would anticipate in the 2021 session, we'll continue that discussion because, from voters that I talked to, they don't feel like mining is paying their fair share of taxes because of the constitutional protections and otherwise. And I can't say I disagree with that, but we'll continue the discussion through the next session and see if we can find something equitable.
Did a gaming tax ever come up, an increase in the gaming tax from 6 3/4, which is potentially the lowest gaming tax in the world? And I'm not saying that it needs to be raised because I think that's one of the reasons why we continue to grow in Las Vegas is because companies know that they can come here and that's a huge benefit and they spend billions of dollars building these buildings. But did the idea ever come up?
I was not involved in any discussions where that idea came up. Now I can't speak for others. The only one that I was directly involved in was the mining one that we actually brought and passed. So I don't know the answer other than to say it wasn't something that I talked about or discussed with anybody.
Okay, so probably our last question here. The governor made the point yesterday that there's not going to be a special session anytime soon because he has concerns about COVID. But my thought is, if he had concerns about COVID, why did he have this session and have everybody be in Carson City? Were you concerned with all the precautions taken that you were in danger at all?
I wasn't concerned when I got to the building. I mean, they did an incredible job of keeping us safe, and I mean, it was just amazing. You know, I think to answer your question, though, when the governor called this special session, I think we weren't yet in that spike of COVID that we had reached recently, and we had to balance this budget because, you know, every day that we went past the July 1st fiscal year without balancing the budget, it was costing the state money. So I think there was a sense of urgency there to be fiscally responsible and get it done. Look, if the COVID spike had happened before he issued the proclamation, I don't know if we would have come up here, but I felt safe. I think the staff did a wonderful job, and I'm still very hopeful that we'll have a second special session to address some lingering issues.
And it, the legislative council has said that you can do it by Zoom. So, you know, I don't really see what the problem is unless the governor has not figured out exactly what he wants to have in a second session. That's for me to say, and you don't even have to answer that.
Well, so. I mean, one of the issues, though, Sam, is like, you know, to be able to do it through Zoom, we have to adopt that rule. So it's a little tricky because I think people have to be authorized to participate, but they probably have to be here for the adoption of the rule that authorizes them to participate. So it's a little tricky at the beginning of a special session, but we'll figure that out later, I guess.
Hey, once again, I really want to thank you for taking the time to do this. I know you've been working your buns off here for the last 12 days. So thank you very much. And we'll be having you back here soon, I am sure, sir.
Thank you so much, Sam. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.